Strange as it may seem, history records that evil has been more popular than good. The majority have usually been wrong. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about majority opinion. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Very early in the ministry of Jesus, a scribe came to him and said, "Master, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Now Jesus could see right through the heart of this man, and perhaps he perceived that the man was looking only for temporal blessing and advantages. For Jesus said this to him, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." In other words, the kingdom of God is not merely worldly gain. There must be sacrifice and concerted effort on the part of the follower of Christ. I suppose most of us have said to ourselves at some time, "I certainly would have loved to have been living in the days when Jesus was here on this earth. If I could have been here then, I would have done everything he asked me to do. I would have gone any place and done anything." Well, today I wonder just how it would have been with us, friends, if Jesus were actually our own pastor today and our own church. What if he were right here on the earth now and he could stand up in a pulpit and preach? What would he say? Would we listen to his words? Would we gladly and freely follow his advice and teachings? Now, Jesus' comment on the religious conditions of the church and the people in his day may reveal something to us about our own times. In Matthew 15, 8 and 9, we read, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now, friends, those are the words of Christ himself. Now, we know that during the Dark Ages, tradition and pagan practice became the rule of the church. As the reformers brought out certain truths that had been hidden from the knowledge of the people, multitudes followed that truth. However, many denominations still are holding on to doctrines and practices that have been handed through tradition and are not fully in accord with the Bible teaching at all. Now, friends, how much we need to examine our own hearts, our own practices of life, and our own doctrines. Does every doctrine of our church and life measure up fully with the plain, "Thus saith the Lord"? If Jesus were to stand in your church today, could he proclaim his full gospel, his full truth, just as he did when he was here in person? If the answer is no, then we need to examine ourselves on the truth of God's word and determine that we're going to attend only on the Bible and the Bible only as the great foundation of our positions. Jesus pointed out that traditions had taken over as truth in his day, and he could do no other than to point out the same spiritual condition today. Far too often, the truth of God is laid aside for some more popular doctrine, one that's been handed down all the way from Roman paganism. And these traditions have been accepted in Protestant churches today who profess to believe in and teach the Bible and the Bible only. You know, friends, this principle of the Bible only is a pure Protestant principle, but unfortunately it's being neglected today, and traditions have actually come in to take root in some of the great Protestant organizations. In fact, no church in Jesus' day would have him for their pastor. Let me call your attention to the story found in Luke 4. You can read the whole thing in your own Bible, but this tells how Jesus had come home to his own hometown church. And on the Sabbath, in accordance with his weekly habit, he went to church, and he was asked to preach to the people that day. Now his fame was already spreading into the region, and here was an opportunity for this popular young preacher to preach at home. And how glad the people should have been to hear his words, friends. Luke 4, 18 and 19 gives us a text that Jesus used as a basis for his sermon that day in the church at Nazareth, his hometown church. After reading the verses taken from Isaiah 61, Jesus began his sermon by explaining that he was the exact fulfillment of the prophecy made by Isaiah. But when the people heard that claim of Christ to be the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, they were filled with anger and were about to throw him off the hill on which Nazareth was built. Jewish law permitted, actually, the slaying of anybody who was caught in blasphemy, and the people accused Jesus of teaching error and blasphemy. Even his own hometown church would have nothing to do with him as a leader in his day. I wonder if Jesus were a pastor today, friends, would people's hearts be any different than they were in that time? When Jesus stood up there and told the people the truth in his day, they were not willing to accept it. Yet today we find the majority of churches who profess the name of Jesus teaching doctrines and practices that are not from the Bible at all, and they're ignoring the words that Jesus spoke while he was here. Friends, here's a very serious thought for all of us who profess the name of Christ. Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Can we be true Christians while we do not follow his teachings fully? Of course not. Reason and logic alike testify to the fact that we cannot be true Christians without following Christ. Now, there were probably several reasons why Jesus was not accepted in his day. I want to point out two or three of them. First of all, Jesus' teachings were not popular. He said in Matthew 7:13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So the teachings of God and truth have never been popular. In the days of Noah, when God sent a special message through Noah to the world, he was not accepted, and his message that he proclaimed was also rejected. Now, Noah had the true message, and the world listened, but it would not accept it, and therefore they were lost. The cause of Christ is no more popular today either. Right now, only 30% of the world's population accept the name of Christ and profess to be Christians at all. 7 out of every 10 individuals living on this earth do not accept or profess to believe in Jesus. Surely the cause of Christ is not popular today, but I speak even more frankly than that with you, friends. Take all who do profess the name of Christ. How many churches and denominations are there who are following the teachings of Jesus without adding tradition or without leaving out some of the things that he said? I'm afraid you could almost count them up on your hands if you think of that kind of church. Now, why are not Christ's full teachings accepted today? They're not popular, of course. That's the main reason. Many feel that some of his teachings are inconvenient, and others feel that they're not important or necessary. Yet, since the Bible makes it clear that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we must surely all know and admit that Jesus would not have any different doctrine or teaching for his followers today than he did when he walked here on this earth and spoke personally to people. We can never measure truth by popularity or by who may or may not be following it. Truth must be accepted and followed because it's the truth, and anything that's not in the full truth and in full harmony with Christ and his holy word cannot be the truth at all. Now we find another reason why Jesus was not accepted in his day. A reason, by the way, why his teachings are not generally accepted today either. I read from Matthew 10:34-38, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." And in these verses now, Jesus outlines the reality of service to Christ. He points out that if we follow tradition merely because our families have done it, and now we do it also, we can't be called the children of God, for we're not even worthy of his name. We're following our own family, father, mother, or so forth, instead of him. Christ wants us to be saved as unbroken families, however, and this matter of salvation is an individual matter. It can't be made on the basis of a family. No husband can save his wife. No wife can save her husband. No parents can save their children. However, the reverse is also true. Just because a husband or wife or son or daughter or father or mother or anyone for that matter does not agree with the Bible and is not willing to follow Christ all the way does not excuse us from making the important step of serving him fully. We must each stand up and be counted. Salvation is an individual matter. Many people will be on the outside of the kingdom of heaven who profess the name of Jesus, but who didn't do what he taught in its entirety. Now you can read that in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, when Jesus said, in part, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Long ago, when I reached the age of manhood, I came to realize that I must decide once and for all whom I would serve. I wanted to be a Christian, but how could I do it? I began to study the doctrines and teachings of various denominations and churches, wanting to find what I should do in order to be saved. And friends, God led me by the study of the Bible to take that Bible as the great basis of all truth. And with this in mind, there comes the question, how can we have so many denominations in the world today? It's evident that most of those denominations profess to teach the truth. They believe they have it. And most profess to believe that the Bible is divine authority for truth. And yet a listing of the many denominations of the world would reveal, I suppose, around 300, between 300 and 400 separate churches. And most all of them accept Christ as Savior. Most all of them accept the Bible as God's Word. And yet most of them disagree with one or more points of basic doctrine concerning the Bible and its message. The question rises then, can all of them be right? Even the casual observer can readily see that when two denominations teach separate views, opposite views on a certain doctrine, both of them can't be right. Thus, we can see that all denominations can't be right on all points of doctrine in Christian teaching and practice. Then comes this other question, can any denomination be fully right? The answer, again, must surely come from God's Word. God says that He'll have an everlasting gospel that will be preached in all the world right up until Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven. The everlasting gospel is none other than the pure, unchanged gospel that Jesus taught and lived with nothing added to it and nothing taken away. It'll be the full gospel of Jesus as He taught it, and it'll be taught and lived in this world until the time of the end and the return of Jesus. Now, perhaps another question may also come into mind. Does it really make any difference after all? Friends, did it make any difference whether Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit of the Garden of Eden? Did it make any difference what the people thought and did about the message of Noah at the time of the flood? The answer to both questions is a very positive yes. It made the difference between life or death, and just so it does today as well. Friends, if Jesus were pastor today, He'd have no new truth for the world. He would once again point the world to Calvary and the faith of Jesus. He'd say once again to the people, if you love me, keep my commandments. He would once again say that even though His teachings were not popular, yet they were the saving truth, and that all who would accept them and follow them would be saved in His kingdom. He would once again say that merely saying that we're a Christian doesn't count for very much. For many that say that will be lost. We must honor Him with more than lip service. The heart and life must be submitted to Him, and we must do the will of God through the power of Christ in us. Don't take any man's word for the truth, friends. I don't care who the preacher is, whether he's a radio evangelist, whether he's a pastor of one of the largest churches in the land. You must test that word by the Bible itself. The Word of God is the great criteria.